Today we are learning the Daf Kuf Nun Hey. Starting from the Mishnah where it says Matirin. The Mishnah says we're discussing how a person can prepare food for his animal on Shabbos. Matirin Beki Amir Lefnei Behema. The Mishnah says a person can be matir, can untie bundles, Beki means bundles, of straw in front of his animal. And then Mishnah continues, Mufasbasin as a keepin. And he can scatter keepin for his animal. What keepin is actually a machlokes in the Gemara, what the definition for keepin is. And the Mishnah continues, Avalah es azirin. Not only can he not be mufasbas the keepin, he can't do zirin either. What zirin is, that is also a debate in the Gemara what it means. The Mishnah said that keeping you could scatter zirin, you can't scatter. That's what the Mishnah is saying. And the Mishnah continues, in meraskin lo as a shachas, for lo as a charuvin lefnei behema, a person cannot chop down into or shred to little pieces. Shachas literally means fodder. Fodder is grain which was not fully grown, typically cut at the one-third of its ripeness that would ordinarily be considered ripe, cut it at that stage, and it will be used as fodder for animals. So a person cannot shred fodder, or charuvin or carobs, for an animal on Shabbos. Doesn't make a difference, the mission continues, ben daka, whether it's behemoth that's a small animal, ben gasser, or a very large animal. An example of a daka would be a sheep, lamb. Gasa would be, a typical gasa would be a cow. You can't do either of those things, moraskin, shachas, or charuvin, for any type of animal, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda mater b'charuvin ladaka. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to shred caribs for a behemoth daka, a small animal on Shabbos. Rashi explains the reason why Rabbi Yehuda gives a dispensation for this is because it has very small teeth and it's much harder for the behemoth daka to eat than it is for behemoth kasa, and therefore you're allowed to make it easier for the animal to eat. Now the Gemara is going to present two explanations of what the terms keepin and zirin are in the Mishnah, and it will make a big difference how to learn the Mishnah and what the halacha l'maisa would be. Amar Rav Huna, hein hein bekiin, hein hein keepin. They really mean the same thing. They're both referring to bundles of straw. However, the difference between them is in number. Pekin are tray. Pekin are they're bundled two times. They're tied with two different ropes, one on the top, one on the bottom, but they're not tied in the middle. Kipin tlasa. Kipin are tied three times. What are zirin? Zirin d'arzi. They are bows of a cedar tree, which are a little softer, and they. Well, this is actually going to be explained in the Mishnah why cedar boughs are different. They're moist branches which are pruned from a cedar tree, and if they retain any of their natural moisture, then they're fit for animal food. Okay. However, most people do not use it for animal food. They let them dry, and once it's dry, it's used as firewood. This is what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, based on these definitions of Rav Huna. Matirin piki amir lefnei behema. A person can untie the pekin, those are the double bound bundles of straw for an animal. Umafaspasin. Not only can he untie the bundles, he can even scatter them. And we say the same din is true. Who had din, the keepin. for those that are the triple bound, more than lekipin. Aval, the Gemara continues, lo es azirin, but you can't. There's no heter for the zirin. What does that mean? We explain this loy lefaspes, but loy lahatir. You're not allowed to scatter them, and you're not allowed to untie a bundle of zirin. Now, why? What's the difference between any of these three things? Rav Chisda explains what the rationale for Rav Huna is. Amar Rav Chisda, my time with Rav Huna, kasara, because he holds, Rav Huna holds, l'mitchach ba'ochla tachinan. You're allowed to matriach yourself, exert yourself, to make for the sake of the food that's already a food, you're allowed to make it better, make it easier for the animal. It's a tircha that if it's already considered a food, you can do tircha for the sake of the animals eating the food. However, l'shavya ochla l'mishavinan, you're not allowed to actually make a food. You can't make something that's a non-food into a food on Shabbos. So the bundles that are the double bound and the triple bound bundles are really food, and you're just making it easier by untying them or scattering them, make it easier for the animal to eat. However, the cedar boughs are generally left as firewood, and therefore people do not consider them to be animal feed. So doing a maisa to make it mutter for the animal to eat or easier for the animal to eat is actually considered to create a food item, and that is not permissible on Shabbos, according to the view of Rav Huna. Now the Gemara is going to present a diametrically opposed shita. That is the Amir Rabbi Yehuda, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Zok Rabbi Yehuda, Pidamar, Hein Hein Pekin, Hein Hein Zirin. You see already a difference right there. The Rav Huna previously said that Kipin and Pekin were the same. He is saying, Rabbi Yehuda is saying Pekin and Zirin are the same. Like, what are they? What's the difference? Pekin or Trey, the double band, Zirin or Tlas are three. Kipin, whereas at the eyes, he says Kipin are these cedar bulls. Tachikalmar, and this is what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Matirin, Peki Amir, Lefne Behema, we are allowed to untie the Pekin of straw. The Pekin, remember that those are the double bound bundles before an animal. However, he does not allow you to scatter them. Ava pespuse loy, the kipin, okay, remember what kipin are, okay, kipin are the cedar boughs, there's a bigger heter on kipin than there was for anything else, kipin pespuse nami mispaspusinan. Okay, you can, not only can you untie them, you can even scatter them. Aval, but loy, hazirin, lefaspes, but a person, the zirin, which are the triple bound bundles, that there's no hatter to scatter. Okay, elal hatter, you're only allowed to untie them. So, according to him, there's no difference between a double bound and a triple bound bundle of straw. And there's a hatter for the keeping with for the cedar boughs that didn't apply to either of the others. And that is, not only can you untie them, you can even scatter them. Now, Amar Rava. Rav explains, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what is Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda, why does he come out to say this? Kesavar, he holds, Shivi Ochla Mishavinan, you're allowed to create a food. Mitchuk Ba'ochla Lechinan, however, something which already has the status of a food, you're not allowed to do extra exertion just to make it easier for the animal to eat. Or to enhance it. Tanan. Now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Huna's Shita from the mission that we just learned. Tanan. Ein maraskin as a shachas v'secharuvin lufnei behema. You can't shred the fodder or carrot for an animal, doesn't make a difference if it's been daka, a small one, or a big one, ben daka, megasa. Now, the Gemara is going to analyze this Mishnah. What does it mean, charuvin? My love, charuvin, dumi de shachas. The caribs are similar to the shachas, to the fodder. Ma shachas, terachichi, that they're soft, av charuvin derachichi. So we're talking about a case where the caribs are also soft. Okay, and therefore, they're already suitable. Since they're soft, they're ripe for an animal to eat. And even so, the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to shred them. So what do you see from there? Alma, lo techinin v'yochla. See, apparently, you see, you're not allowed to matriach yourself, you cannot exert yourself for animal food. And this is a question on Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna said that you, according to the explanation Rav Chizkiah gave in Rav Huna, you're allowed to be matriach. You can't just the only thing you're not allowed to do is create. You're not allowed to create a food. Tircha is permissible. You see from this line in the Mishnah, just the opposite, that tircha is not permissible on Shabbos for animal food. So we have a good question from the Mishnah on Rav Huna. How does Rav Huna get out of this? Amar lach Rav Huna, why? No, that's the wrong way to make a deek on the Mishnah. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that the charuvin are doing with the shachas. Rather, it means the other way around. The shachas are doing to the charuvin. The fodder is similar to the carobs. Ma charuvin da akushi. Carobs are usually hard. Af shachas da akushi. So too, the fodder here is also hard. And therefore, it's not fit for an animal to eat right away. And since it's not fit, you know, it needs to be created into a food. And we're telling you, the Mishnah is telling you that you can't do that. You can't shred it to make it fit for an animal to eat. Now, how do you have such a case? In fact, where do you find a case of where you have fodder that's too hard for an animal to eat? That's very unusual. So, my answer is we're talking about a specific case of Be'ili Zutri. Young donkeys and chomerim, for which regular fodder is considered to be hard, and therefore, in order to make it into a food, it would be required to be morasiket, to shred it. Toshma, we have another kashvan Rav Huna. It says, Rabbi Huda, then the last line of the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda is matir b'charuvin ladaka. He's matir to shred carobs for a little animal. So medayik ladaka in legasalo only for a small animal, but not for a big one. And now let's explain this. What does that mean? Yeah, Rabbi Shlomo, if you want to say that, like Rabbi Yehuda says, Tanakama savar mitchuk biyuchal loy tarchinon, that the Tanakama holds that you can't be matriach yourself to enhance an animal food. But you can create a food for an animal. Hainu, the Kama Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, the explanation, the continuation of the mission of Rabbi Yehuda's last line makes sense. He's telling the Tanakama, Charuv Ladaka Nami is the case of shredding carobs for a small animal. Nami Shaviyuchlu. That's also a case of making food. And therefore, that should also be permissible. So the Hemshel of the Mishnah makes sense if you learn like Rabbi Yehuda does. However, if you learn like Rav Huna, and that would deal with hard caribs, Eliyamit, like Rav Huna says, Tanakama Sovar, and Tanakama holds, Shaviyocho, Lem Shavinon, that you cannot make food, a Mitchap Ochlo Metachinon, but you're allowed to be Matriach yourself. Then Rabbi Yehuda, the town of Yehuda, less on the Mishnah, Tamata b'charuvin ladaka. He says you're allowed to be shred carobs for a little animal, for a small animal. That means, what about l'chayr? That means that for a large animal you can't. But if Yehuda holds that by shredding hard carobs, that it's just making an enhancement, then why can't you do it for a gasa? Klokin l'gasa. he should certainly be able to do so for a large animal. Yet, we see that Yehuda clearly holds that Behemah Gasa is, you can't do this for Behemah Gasa. So the Gemara answers me, Sarit Daka, Daka Mamish. Okay, do you think that Rabbi Yehuda says a Daka, that he means Mamish, a small animal? No, he doesn't mean that. My Daka, what does it mean that Behemah Daka? It means a Gasa. It really means a large animal, like a cow. So you have an obvious question, why are we calling it a Daka in the Mishnah? My call it a Daka, so why is it called a Daka? The Daka Ba'ukhla. Because we're talking about this animal, who happens to be a large animal, is very particular about its food. It chooses food very well. So, what's Rabbi Huda saying? He permits the shredding of carbs for a large animal. Why? Because he considers this to be an enhancement, not to be a creation of food. So the Gemara has the question, look at the first part of the Mishnah, from what the Tanakhama said, Ben Daka, Ben Gasa, you're not allowed to, Mechlal, the Rehuda Daka, Daka Mamish, Kamar, that he, when Rehuda said Daka, he meant really a small animal. And he wasn't referring to a cow who chewed well, who's you know, meticulous in his eating. Kasha versus Daka, that is a very good question. We don't have an answer for that question. Toshma, the Gemara asks another question, but this time the question is not aimed at Rav Huna, rather the question is aimed at Rabbi Yehuda. Toshma, mechatchin, a person can cut up esat luin, luin or gourds, lefnei behema, for an animal, ves anavela is a carcass, lefnei akalavim, for dogs. My love, the luin, the gourds are dumin the anavela. They're similar to the nevela. Ma nevela, the rechichim. Nevela is soft. The rechicha, aft luin, the rechichi. So too, the luin, the gourds are soft. So if they're soft, what do you see? You see that the Mishnah still says, you're allowed to cut these gourds up for an animal. So, Alma, tachin al b'yuchla. So you see that you're allowed to be matriach yourself and cut something up which is really already fit to eat. Tifta de Rabbi Yehuda. And that is a question on Rabbi Yehuda. He says that you're not allowed to be matriach for an eichel, for behem eichel. Amalach Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda responds, lo, no, you have the way you did, because the Mishnah is wrong. We really mean, it means nevela dumi de deluin. Talking about the case, the nevela, the carcass, is similar to the gourds. Madluim, the ashuni, the duin are tough. Af nevela, the ashuni, we're talking a case where the nevela is also tough. And therefore, in order to be eaten, it's gotta be cut up. So really, we're talking a case where you're creating food, and that is what Rehuda was saying. How you have such a case where it has to be created, you know, for an animal to eat. But Basa Pili, we're talking about where it's very hard meat to eat, like an elephant meat. Okay, Inami, or you could say we're talking in a case where Bigurirasa Zuchri, small puppies who cannot eat without the person cutting up the meat and making it into a food frame. So we successfully answer the challenge to Rav Yehuda. Now we have another challenge to Rav Yehuda. Tashma, the Tani Rav Chanan ben Hardai, the Abaisa, the says Mefachin and Tevan Bas Paspa. A person can crumble straw and fodder on Shabbos. Okay, Uma Arvan, and then you can mix it together. Now both those items, the straw and the fodder, were ready to eat. They're considered an oichel without mixing them together, without crumbling. And even so, you see the brisa allows you to crumble them. So that's a tircha. And you see, alma, tircha, tachin, and b'yochel. So you see, a person can be matriach himself for something that's already considered an oichel. And with the Gemara, tevin is b'tevin asaria. We're talking where it's spoiled, the straw is spoiled. And it's not edible unless you do this with mixing into the fodder. And also crumbling it. As pasta and the fodder needs to be crushed, because we're talking about Eli Zutri, where you're feeding to young donkeys who don't have such a strong koyach of achila as we had seen previously before. Now the we're going to the next Mishnah. We're discussing how we feed animals. It says in the Mishnah, "Ein oifsin es agamo." We cannot stuff a camel like darsin. You can't. Well, darsin also means to also shove food into it. The Gemara will explain what the difference between these things is. Aval malitin. You're allowed to put food, you know, into its mouth, into its throat. Ve'en ma'amirin es agolim. But you're not allowed to fatten up a calf. Aval malitin. But you could put food into its mouth. Mahaktadin letanagolim. A person can force feed chickens. The noisin mayim lamorsin. And a person can put water into the bran that's going to be fed to the birds. Aval legoivlin. Even though you're allowed to put the water together with the bran, you're not allowed to mix it or knead it together, because that would be a malacha of kneading. The Mishnah continues. Ba'ain nois nin ma'ayim. You can't give water. You can't put water lefnei dvarim in front of bees, lefnei yainim shebashayvach, or in front of doves in a dovecot. Aval, however, you could nois nin lefnei ha'avzin. You're allowed to put water for geese, tarakoyelim, or chickens, or lefnei yoni hadrisois before a certain type of pigeon called a yoni hadrisois. The Gemara will explain why these birds are different than the previous two different types of birds, and why the first two you're not allowed to put water from in front of them, and these you are allowed to. Now the Gemara will just explain the basic terms that we had said in the beginning of the Mishnah. My ain oifsin. What does it mean that you're not allowed to stuff a camel? So Rabbi Yehuda, the Amara explains. You can't make it into a trow. An avis is a trow in its belly on Shabbos. During the week, that would be permissible. Shabbos, you can't do it. Now the Gemara says, well, what does that mean exactly, making the belly of a camel into a trow? Is it possible to feed a camel so much that it will actually resemble a trout? The Gemara says, yeah, that can happen. The Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Difti. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Difti said, L'didi chazi lehu taya, so-and-so in Arab, toch l'kar avatina kar. He fed his camel a whole core and then loaded a core of things to load onto the back of the camel for its trip. So you see that it's possible to feed such a large measure to a camel. And just keep this in mind, how much food we're talking about. We said you gave him a core. The Arab gave him a core. What's a core? A core equals 30 saw. One saw is equal to the volume of 144 eggs. So 144 times 30, you do the math, that's quite an amount. And also, just when you do the math, the eggs in the time of the Gemara were considerably larger than our eggs. So, talking quite an amount that the camel was able to hold. Now, we're going to the next part of the Mishnah. It says, "In ma'amirin, you can't fatten the calves." Now, Ezehi, the Gemara, we asked the question, what do these terms mean? Ezehi hamrav, Ezehi lata. What does it mean, fattening, putting food down the throat? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, what does it mean? Hamra means l'makoim sheni chal ha'chze. Fattening, which the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do, means you put it in so far that the animal can't bring it up again. Halata, what does that mean? L'makoim sheni chal ha'chze. Halata is motor, because you don't put it that far down deep, you put it into a place where the animal can still bring the food up. Rav Chizda, he has a different explanation of what it means. These definitions of Chizda are, both these terms of Hamra and Alata are discussing where the animal, the food is being put so far back, the animal cannot bring it up anymore. What's the difference? Hamra is Bechli. Okay, fanning, which is not permitted, is talking where there's a kli involved. And that is what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Halata is you're doing it piyat, by hand. And that is permissible. Now, the Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Yehuda. What is Moser, Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef is challenging Rabbi Yehuda. Here, remember, keep this in mind, Rabbi Yehuda said, he said, that a person cannot feed an animal when? By putting food so far back that it can't bring it up. Now, according to Chizda, that's okay. It's mind that you don't use a clay, you don't use an implement to do this. Moser, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef challenged, it says in the Brisa, Malahakten Latana Goylin. A person is allowed to force feed chickens. Vanchok Lemmer Shamalakita. Not only can you force feed them, you can even, we'll call it regular feed them. Now, if you're saying you can force feed them, we have to say that you can regular feed them. So, I think that'll become clear when we look at the Hamshok and Brisa. It says over there, Vain Malkitan Liani Shavach Liani Aliyah. A person cannot feed, these two different types of doves, dovecot doves, rabbitic doves. Vanzach lemesh in malhakten. And of course, not only can a regular feed them, you can force feed them. Now I think we get the answer why the Brisa had just said vanzach lemesh shalakten. You can regular feed the chickens, because we're contrasting that to the other case of these doves, which you're not even allowed to do that. Now, my malhakten and my malkitin, what is it meant by these terms? Feeding or force feeding? Elim, if you want to say, malhakten the sefer lebedayim, force feeding means that using your hands to put the food on the throat. And malkitin means the shalak amayi, just put food in front of them. That means, b'chal di yoni shev yin aliyah, these two types of doves, the dovecot doves, the yanok doves, means the kamayi namilai, that you can't put food in front of them. That's illogical. Why should that be also for? Right? And Allah must be that that's incorrect. So what does it mean? We're talking, malhakten means l'makam sheni chalahazir. Force feeding means that you put food so far back into the throat the chicken cannot bring it up anymore. Malkitin means l'makam sheni chalahazir. And then stam feeding, that it can bring the food back up. So what do you see from here from the Brisa? That a person can force feed a chicken by hand. Even if the food is so far back up, it's so far that the chicken cannot bring it back up. Mechlal, so must be dam rabachli. When it says fanning, which our Mishnah forbids, must be talking we use a kli. Utiyufta de Yehuda. And that is a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Amalach Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says, Loyola malhakten. Really, what force feeding means? What does it mean? It means you. It means the suffer every time. You put food down the throat by hand. And what is makit? It means the shalak kamayi when you throw the food in front of it. You had a question. The kikashalach, yoni shalach, yoni aliyah, lemesh the kamayi namilai. Why dovkatov and aktov is you're not allowed to put food in front of them? Why should that be answer? The answer to that is honey, those that you're allowed, like the chickens, mizanason alacha. You're obligated to feed them, and they depend on you. The honey, these doves, which come and go, ain't mezanas on alacha. They don't depend on you for their food. They could go out easily outside, fly out and find food. And therefore, you have no obligation to feed them, and therefore that's why it's also considered an unnecessary tircha for you to do. Now, we're bringing a raya to what we just said. How are you to explain the brisa from another brisa? Netanya, what is it in another brisa? Noisin zonis lefnei kelef. A person can put food before a dog. Noisin zonis lefnei chazir. But you can't put food in front of a pig. What's the difference between the pig and the dog? The answer is the dog depends on you for food. The pig and mezaynos on alecha. The pig does not depend on you for food. Keep this in mind, of course. A dog is allowed to be owned by a Jew, as long as it meets certain criteria. It can't be a vicious attack dog, and it's well chained, etc. Whereas a pig is never permitted for a Jew to keep. There's a curse on someone who magdal chazir. Now, we're bringing another raya, or we're going to attempt to bring another raya to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Vashi, my sister, now we take. If you have dik, like Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah, state in Mishnah, Enes and Mayan Lefnei Devayim Lefnei Yainim Shemeshoivach. A person can't put water before bees or before doves in a dove cup. But you're allowed to place water before geese, chickens, and the yoni hajusoyes. My time, why not? Why? It was a chiluk between them. Bamishu must be the honey, the geese, the chickens, the mezonos on alecha. The honey, the other two types of doves, and the mezonos on alecha. So you see, that clearly indicates that Rabbi Yehuda learned the correct way in the Mishnah. No, you don't have such a good raya. Maya. Why are we talking about water? Right? If you're right, I feel chiti. Sorry, now we lie. Wheat and barley should also not be given to the dovecot doves. They can get food on their own. Why are you allowed? So since we said only water, must be the only water can be given to them. But other things can be given to them. Ella shiny maya deshichi biagma. So the reason why the mission chose the case of water is because water is different. Why? Because water is very readily and easily available in a pond. And that's why it's usher to give to the bees and the dovecot doves, because there's readily available water for them, whereas food is not so readily available for them, not that easy for them, and therefore you're allowed to feed them or put food in front of them. Darash Rabbi Yoina Pesach de Benesia. Rabbi Yoina Darash in front of the Benesia's house, palace. Ma'adach say, what does the pasuk mean when it says Yotzei Tzadik Ben Din Dalim, the righteous one, the tzadik, who is referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he knows the suffering of the poor. We explain what does it mean. Yotzei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bekelav Shemezaynus on Mu'atin. Hashem knows that the dog's food is very meager. Therefore, the food lingers in the belly of a dog for 3 days. Like we learned in the Mishnah Oilers, we talk about how long it takes for a dog to digest something. It says over there, how long does the food linger and still consider it tameh? But kelev, the Mishnah says, shlosh yomim esleis. 3 24-hour periods, consecutively, of oifis, of a dogim, kadesha, tipo, la'arv, this arf. Birds and fish, the time limit for something to be considered, Nesachal, not considered tameh anymore, is in a kadeh, as long as it takes, the people are, they'll fall into a fire with this arf and be burnt up. So you see that the dog's digestive cycle is much longer than those of some other creatures. Ravahamnuna, Shema Mina, at least from here, that this is from the fact that Akash Baruch Hu was so, I guess the right word, be careful or worried about the dog's ability to find food. That's why Hashem made it that the dog has 3 days to digest it, etc. You see, Aruch HaRoh, Darach Eretz is L'mesh Dom Zal Chalva, to throw a chunk of meat to a stray dog. V'chama, how much meat should be thrown? Amar Rav Mari, Rav Mari explains, Meshach Utnei V'chut Shavas Rei. How big is the size? The size of the dog's ear. Udnei. And it should immediately be followed by a stick, which means that a person should have the stick, perhaps even use it, in order to chase away the dog. You just did a chesed with the dog, and give him meat. You don't want the dog to hag along after you. Not a healthy thing. I guess you could say economically you don't want him to come follow you and have to have the bill of feeding a dog. Hanimili, Rashi is going to say this in the next Gemara pretty soon. The Gemara qualifies, but we just said Hanimili b'Dara. This is so only in the desert that you have this din that you're just Derech Eretz, you're supposed to feed a wild dog. Avavamata in the city, loy, don't throw in any meat. Why does the mitzvah? Because it will tag along after you and be a financial drain. Amara Papa. The Papa said, "Less the anya mikaba. There's nothing, because none of the animals which are poorer than a dog. Less the asiya because you're nothing wealthier than a pig. Okay, a pig will eat anything, and plus people generally stuff a pig. So that's why we're saying that's considered to be wealthy in the animal world. Tanya goes to Rabbi Yehuda. You have a bride said that sounds like Rabbi Yehuda." Right, that fattening means force feeding animal by hand. Okay, the Brisa says, "Ezo hi hamra ve'ezi halihatata." What are these terms, fattening or putting food in the throat? Hamra, fattening means Rabisa, because it's pia. You put it on its knees and you pop it on its mouth with some type of kli. Or machila kashinin or ma'ay vasachas, and you feed it veg and water at the same time. Okay, what that achieves is that the food is forcibly washed down, so it can't spit it out. So a person can feed vegetable water at the same time. And halata is machila ma'umid u'mashkum ma'umid. But halata is putting food on its throat. What that means that when you feed it standing, it waters, and the person waters it standing. The lesson kashinim from the asman u'may from the asman, and you veg separately and the water separately. So as long as the animal is not kneeling, you can't stuff the food in so deeply, and the animal still has the ability to spit it out. Okay. Now we're going to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Mahatam tanagoyim when they put down the food into the throats of chickens, and you put water into their bran, you can't eat them together." Right? I'm Rabbi. By explore Mizka Kamedamar, I said in front of our masters, generally Rabbi Yosef, who is the Rebbe of Abai and Rava, Masisan Mani, who's the Tanah of our Mishnah, who holds that putting water into bran is not a problem without a malacha of kneading. Who's Tanah holds like that? Excuse me, Bamali, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, it is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Tanya, Echa Noisan as a Kamach. If one person contributes the flour, the Echa Noisan the Kamach, one other person puts in water, Hakun Chai. The person who did this, the second Maisa, he's the one who did the Malach of kneading of Losh. Divir Rabbi, that's Rabbi Shita, Rabbi Yisrael Yudayim, and Echaiv Ad Shei Gabal. Until he actually kneads manually the Taruvah, the mixture, there's no malacha that was done. So apparently, what do you see from here? Our Mishnah, which says you let to pour water into bran, must be going like the Shita of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who holds that there's no malacha of kneading until you actually do a mice of stirring. In fact, the Gemara, Doma, maybe our Mishnah doesn't go according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Because, well, I can't let come Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, awesome, was only saying that putting in water does not constitute kneading when only the guy with the flour, the baragibahu, because flour is kneadable and it can be made into a dough, because the different specks or particles of the flour adhere to each other to form one mass. Okay, whereas in our case, the bran is not like that. Well, most in the labra gable, then I feel the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's mother. I here agree that you don't need to stir it. That simply adding water to the bran is a mice of kneading it of itself. Maybe that's the pshat, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would not agree. And for the Gemara, Allah is like a daitach. I would not think such a thing. The Tanya behedya, because it's one of Bryce explicitly. Anus and Mayan Lamorson, a person cannot put water into the brand of your Rabbi Yisrael. If you don't, I'm a nurse and Mayan Lamorson. You can see quite clearly from this Bryce that even in regard to brand, which does not have the same consistency as flour and made into a dough like mass. Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda does not consider just the mice of putting water in to be an act of kneading. And the halacha seems to follow Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Jumtiv.